We're going to study today one of the most rapidly growing of all non-Christian cultic structures in the United States. We're going to be studying, based upon the Word of God, the church founded by the Reverend Frederick Eicheren Coder, known familiarly on television, radio, across the United States, and quite literally around the world as the Reverend Ike. Now, if we're going to spend time analyzing Reverend Ike, we're going to have to spend a great deal of time in terms of the material which is available on him. Our research project and staff spent a great deal of time analyzing this material. I have special thanks to Gary Metz, one of my research associates, who did a tremendous job of primary research and unearthing things which previously were unknown. Frederick Eicheren Coder, or the Reverend Ike, was born in 1935. His father was a minister, and his father abandoned the family when he was but 5 years of age. Reverend Ike grew up very poor, and at the age of 14 became associate pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in his hometown. His educational background is most revealing. I think perhaps not only revealing from the standpoint of what he says about himself, but also on the basis of what has been left unsaid. Now, it is not our purpose to attack Reverend Ike as a person. But when an individual has a magazine with a circulation of 1,500,000, Action Magazine, when he has more than 2 million followers throughout the United States and rapidly expanding throughout the world, when 500,000 people have been said to have joined his movement in the last 2 years alone, and he is now, by his own statement, targeting in on the following of Billy Graham, when he appears on literally hundreds of television stations and radio stations, and when he attracts the attention of a large segment of the public, then it becomes necessary for us to pay considerable attention to the person of Reverend Ike. If he were preaching Jesus Christ's gospel, that would be a phenomenon we could applaud. But when we face an individual who has an enormous body of wealth around him, who is talking in the vocabulary of historic Christianity, and at the same time denying the foundations of the Christian gospel, it is necessary for the church to pay attention. It's necessary for Christians to recognize this need, and the need of persons who are misled by Mr. Eicheren Coder. And I say Mr. because, though he is called the Reverend Frederick Eicheren Coder, and though he claims to have doctor's degrees, the two doctor's degrees he has were bestowed upon him by his church, his own church. And he is not a member of any denomination. In addition to that, he completed high school in 1952, and in 1956 received a degree from the American Bible College in Chicago. He claims, in a television interview, to have received a degree in theology. Quite interesting, in checking through his educational background, we find out that he did not receive any degree in theology at all, but rather that he received his degree in religious education, or in the backgrounds of how to teach the general concepts of education and religion, but he received it not from a recognized school, but from a diploma mill. And so it was necessary for us to write to the state of Illinois and to inquire about Mr. Eicheren Coder's background. We received some very interesting information. At least for me, it was very interesting. We found out, in the very words of the Department of Education, Illinois, that he graduated from a degree mill. And they do not recognize that he has had, in effect, no theological background whatsoever. His education is spotty. His degree is honorary. His protestations of having background in teaching materials simply do not exist. What we have is an individual who has succeeded in convincing a great number of persons that he is indeed the first black man to enunciate the power of positive thinking and dynamic thinking in the lives of the black community. Now, you cannot fault Reverend Ike, so-called, for his efforts and desires. You cannot fault him for his attempt to get people to think on a positive level. But the problem with positive thinking is that it turns away from one part of the gospel, which is imperative for the church and has been throughout all ages. We not only are supposed to preach Jesus Christ positively, but it is necessary to defend Jesus Christ's gospel by all means, for the scripture says that we are committed to the defense of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. In the theology of Eicher and Coder, negativism must be simply suppressed per se, and the person must think positively in all things. Now, trying to analyze the background and history and theology of Eicher and Coder is, as I said, a tremendous job. We have uncovered some, I think, very revealing things. We know, for instance, that he is associated with those who are involved in the mind sciences, the Church of Religious Science. Other mind science groups are welcomed by his church structure. And his followers recognize him under very unusual titles. Of course, there are others that have given him some unusual titles, too. He has been called the Monetary Messiah. He's been called a modern-day black Horatio Alger, the first black American preacher to identify with the dynamic of positive thinking, and he's been called Robin Hood in reverse. There are those who have not hesitated to describe his system of theology as a mixture of pantheism, positive thinking, and good old American hokum in terms of conning people out of their money. Now, you really can't criticize Eicher and Coder for the people that believe in him, because he openly comes out and tells everybody that he is, in effect, after money. One of his most famous statements on the subject is that the lack of money is the root of all evil. And when he starts talking about the poor, it's fascinating to see the emphasis that he places upon the poor. He says that one of the most important things to remember about the poor is not to join them. And as far as care for the poor is concerned, or the employment of the Christian ethic in terms of people who need, Eicher and Coder tells them that their need can be met, not by him, but by applying the principles of his church. The philosophy of his church has been described as get it while you can, and get more of it. And there are people who say, well, I listen to Reverend Ike, and I watch him on television, and I have applied some of these principles, and money has come to me. In fact, testimonies are given all over the place about people who applied his science of living, and immediately they received wealth. Now, people may receive money from some of these principles. I don't know, because it's impossible to check them all out. They give testimonies on his television program that they do. But receiving all of the money that you wanted and losing your soul in exchange is a very poor bargain. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, what shall it profit a man if he gain the entire world and lose his soul? And what is it going to gain the people who are following this newest mind science cult, for that's precisely what it is, if they gain everything that he advertises and they still lose their own souls? Now, you cannot be redeemed apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eicher and Coder began as a Baptist, ended up as a Pentecostal, and then turned his back on this totally and on what training he did receive, which was under Pentecostal aegis, and adopted an amalgamation of the mind sciences, Christian terminology, and faith healing. He operated in Boston and had a faith healing temple there. And by his own admission, he was very fortunate not to have killed some people. because, in the words of Esquire magazine, he was at that time considered by them to be nothing more than a charlatan who was collecting money under false pretenses. In fact, they said worse things about him, but one of his aides says that he has changed since that time. Now, what basically is the theology that motivates people in this particular religious cult? The science of mind, and also what he considers to be the science of living. What is it that draws people to it? Well, Ike says they have a need. He says that people are looking for money. And if you want to have financial support and strength, what you should do is envision yourself, project yourself into an overflowing bank account, into a growing checkbook, into stocks and bonds, into all of the things that you want for yourself. And as you project these ideas, and as you seek for them and identify with them, you yourself give up the idea that there's any man in the sky that's going to do anything for you, and you adopt the philosophy that pie in the sky, by and by, is something that you can do without. That's the error of Christianity. So he says. And now, you get your pie with ice cream and a cherry on top if you adopt Reverend Ike's philosophy. And that philosophy does away in totality with a personal God. If you are talking God with Reverend Ike's followers, don't make the mistake of talking about God as a person. Don't make the mistake of talking of God in terms of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's adopted totally the mind science approach. Christian Science, unity, new thought, metaphysics, religious science, divine science, Christ unity science, Cyanetics, all of it is the same breed. And when Eicher and Coder says God, he does not mean the God of the Bible. To quote him, he means the God within you. And you yourself are identified with God. This is classically known as pantheism, or all identification with God. But the Bible doesn't talk about this at all. The Bible talks about God as personal ego. In fact, in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we are told by God himself, in speaking to Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now the theology of Mr. Eicher and Coder is spelled out in many, many places. I have here 300 pages of excerpts and photocopies of materials derived from his own publications. It would be a good idea to listen to Reverend Ike, as he is called, speak for himself. On the subject of death, he specifically says he has no philosophy concerning death. There's only now. No death, only now. He brands his theology the theology of the eternal now. Doesn't even think about dying. Of course, Solomon, who is slightly wiser than Mr. Eicher and Coder, does draw to our attention the fact that the living know that they must die, and that all men are aware of the fact that death is inevitable. That is, of course, in Christian theology, apart from the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he discusses the person of God, God is not someone else, he says, somewhere else, sometime else. God is the presence of infinite good within each of us here and now. I teach that a person may live a positive, dynamic, healthy, successful, prosperous life through the consciousness of the presence of God, infinite good, already within every man. That's a direct quotation from Eicher and Coder in his particular publication, where he speaks out. Reverend Ike speaks on. He speaks out and he speaks on. But this is what he's talking about. God, when he talks about the Bible, he specifically says he doesn't believe the Bible is the infallible word of God. For him, the Bible is a very great help, very important to him. But the Bible is not what it professes to be. The reason it can be what it professes to be, quite obviously, is because it contradicts Reverend Ike. So the best way that you can deal with something that contradicts you is just to summarily ignore it. Now, what he does in his television shows, what he does on radio, what he does in person, is to take the flamboyance of Pentecostal evangelism, to take the vocabulary of historic Christianity and biblical theology, and to lightly spray it over Mary Baker Eddy, Phineas Parkhurst Quimby, Charles Barker, Raymond Charles Barker, Warren Feld Evans, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, and all of the people involved in the mind science religion. And then he passes it off to the public as a get-rich-quick, positive thinking, mental science. He operates out of a large theater, which is in my old neighborhood in Upper Washington Heights, New York. In fact, I once attended that theater, so I know it very well. 175th Street, Lowe's Theater, which he purchased for $600,000. He really began to hit it big when he came in 1969 to New York, and he began to operate out of a theater in Harlem on 125th Street. He then came to the realization, as one magazine put it, that he was just one more country preacher ripping off a fast buck in the big city, and it became necessary to set himself apart and be different. Now, there are many things about his background that we could spend time on. He claims that he attended New York State teachers training in Plattsburgh, New York. We have a letter here from them stating that he did indeed attend, but he dropped just after a few weeks of study and did not continue his course. We also have in his official biography that he was in the United States Air Force and that he occupied the exalted position of chaplaincy. We did a little research on that and found out he did join the Air Force and he was a chaplain's assistant, but when we requested the reasons for his discharge and when he had been discharged and information like that, even getting in touch with the Air Force, they were reluctant to communicate any information on him whatsoever. We did, however, get some information from the former school he attended, Manhattan Bible Institute, which stated that he did attend there, received a religious education degree through the American Bible College in Illinois, which was non-accredited and a diploma mill, and that he has apostatized from what they taught him. I am delighted that they taught him the gospel, for at least he knows that much of the truth, but he has rejected the gospel. One of his aides has said, and I quote, "Reverend Ike really isn't a religious man at all," close quote. That should come as no surprise to anybody, because when a person stands up dripping diamonds, driving in Rolls Royces and Bentleys, and turns to his audience and says, "How do you like my suit?" Incidentally, he spends $50,000 a year on his wardrobe, and the people clap in response to it. Then he says, "Well, you ought to. You paid for it." You know, back in the 1920s, long before I was born, there was a very... I wasn't. What are you laughing at? There was a very famous lady of the speakeasy era who was known as Texas Guinan. And she had a nightclub in New York. And her favorite expression was, "Hello, suckers." Because the people who came there supported it, and you had to be a sucker to drink the stuff that she served. Well, if we could apply one phrase to Reverend Ike's philosophy in terms of gaining funds, it would be, "Hello, sucker." Because he asks you to give him money for himself and for his church, and in turn, the God within you will produce money for you. And anybody that believes something like that is really a sucker. Because you are not God, testified to by the fact that the death rate is still, as Donald Barnhouse said, one per person. The people in the mind sciences die. They don't like to think about death, and if I believe what they did, I wouldn't want to think about it either. Because the scripture says it is given to all men first to die and after this the judgment. Now, the theological statements of Mr. Eicher and Coder, Reverend Ike, are tremendously important. Don't wait for pie in the sky. By and by, when you die, get your pie now with ice cream on the top. That's the opening line. Why pin your faith on a God in the sky who's not going to do anything for you? Reverend Ike is very much like the people who tell us that all we have to do is think positively no matter what is going on, and everything will work out perfectly. Well, I'm reminded of the late Reinhold Niebuhr's criticism of the abuse of positive thinking. Niebuhr said it works splendidly until the pitcher in the crucial game of the World Series has to have the next pitch a strike because he won't get enough money to take care of his widowed mother and family, and he's extended himself financially so that if it isn't a strike and they don't win, he's bankrupt. And the batter has exactly the same problem. They are both thinking positively. And Niebuhr says, what kind of situation do we find? We find two positive thoughts, and one of them will have a negative conclusion. Now, Niebuhr was a very astute theologian. He certainly wasn't a Christian theologian from the perspective of biblical revelation. But one thing about him was sure: Niebuhr could analyze the impossibility of an untenable situation. And he analyzed it, and he's right. Thinking positively is not wrong, but thinking positively apart from what God has to say is very wrong, because you begin to substitute your will for the will of God rather than recognizing what the Lord Jesus Christ said. We are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, in Eicher and Coder's meetings, he claims that healings occur. There's no way of documenting this particular thing, as in the case of Catherine Kuhlman and Oral Roberts, where x-rays are provided and doctors' testimonies can be read and all types of medical diagnosis has been employed. Instead, you simply get the idea that people are healed quietly and silently all over his meetings. That hikes back to his early faith healing days in Boston, when, as I pointed out, he was regarded as a fast buck artist. But one thing is sure: people are magnetized by the concept of healing. People are physically ill and emotionally disturbed, and they are fair game for the people who promise them healing pie in the sky by and by. And though Reverend Ike may talk the vocabulary of Christianity, we are not at all dealing with Christian healing. For Christian healing comes about when God intervenes and raises a person up. Satanic healing occurs when people, without recognizing it many times, open themselves to false doctrine and false teaching, and Satan demonstrates in order to convince them that what is obviously evil is good. The healings in Christian Science, the healings in the mind science cults, the healings in witchcraft and Satanism are bona fide, and many of them are documented. But God is not in the healing business for those who deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Christian church is in the problem that she is in today where divine healing is concerned, because when we turn away from the imperative to obey God and pray for the sick and to anoint them, then Satan rushes into the vacuum and supplies us with all kinds of substitutes, all kinds of things which are the direct opposite of what God intended man to accept and believe. So we learn something from this. A miracle by itself means nothing. You must examine the miracle. You must find out who's performing the miracle. You must discover the motivation behind it, and you must follow up the people who experience it to see whether or not it glorifies God. In the case of the cults and the occult, it doesn't glorify God. It only establishes the claims of the cultists and the occultists so that people are drawn deeper into false religious teaching. Satan is the great imitator. And that imitation today is deceiving people in the cult and the occult and leading them down the corridors to eternal spiritual death. Now, Ike takes on a veneer of acceptance when he is consulted by the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and HUD asks him questions. Immediately, it's headlined that the government is seeking the help of Reverend Ike. Frankly, the one thing our government does not need is a philosophy of illusion, because we have been in that philosophy for some time now, and it has produced Watergate, it has produced Vietnam, it has produced all kinds of political excesses beyond description. What we need, without any political overtones in an election year, is a return to reality, a reality that's going to deal with the problems we have. It's the same way in religion. What good does it do people to talk about a God in the sky if they have never invited him into the living room and have never received the God of creation into their lives and souls and hearts and minds through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Ike and all of his colleagues of deception in the world of mind science succeed because the church quite frequently does not apply the practicality of the Christian message to everyday life. It is not enough to talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. The church must live the parable. Because where the parable of the Good Samaritan is lived and my neighbor is cared for because of Jesus Christ, I don't have to worry about people in the ghetto being sucked into Reverend Ike's religion. They will know the difference. And they will see the church in action is the church that proclaims the Lord Jesus and acts positively, in reality, in the real world, in Jesus' name. That's what the parable of the Good Samaritan is all about. And when Christ quoted Leviticus 19:18, he said, "Love thy neighbor as thyself," which obviously means that we have a responsibility, a real and growing responsibility, that has to be exercised. The reason why Ike is so successful is because so many people are in desperate need, and so often the Church of Jesus Christ ignores that need. Too often we preach Jesus Christ, but we do not apply the principles that we are preaching. Now, the theology of Ike is pretty detailed, and we could spend a great deal of time dealing with it. Get It Now is its basic structure. Materialism, it's God. And Ike says he imagines himself rolling in green and in dollar bills and in stock certificates, and then he opens his eyes and it's just flowing into him. The philosophy of the eternal now, materialism. Get it now. Now, I would like to point out that there's nothing wrong with material benefits. There's nothing wrong with possessing material things. There's nothing wrong with being rich if God in His graciousness permits it. But when it becomes the prime directive of life and the goal of life itself, at that particular juncture, we find ourselves completely opposed to biblical revelation. Reverend Ike wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ as the Savior who died on the cross for our sins. For him, Jesus is the man, and Christ is the cosmic principle or consciousness, the divine idea, the God within every man. He borrowed this from the Unity School of Christianity, who borrowed it from Christian Science, who borrowed it from Phineas Parkhurst Quimby, who borrowed it from Hinduism, simply by changing the vocabulary a little bit. So when you're listening to Reverend Ike, be careful of the terms which are used. When he talks about God, impersonality. When he talks about Christ, that is the true deity of humanity. When he talks about salvation, he means your material world benefits you, and you are saved from poverty, which for Reverend Ike is his personal hell. And when you are talking about revelation, you're talking about wherever you can find something in any of the world religions, including the Bible, that will help you be more dynamic, more prosperous, more healthy, just so long as you make a commitment to those particular principles. You are not talking about salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, What do we do in the light of all this from the Christian position? How does the Christian talk with people who are involved in Iker and Coder's religion? Well, one of the things you can point out immediately is the fact that Ike himself is not suffering from this particular brand of religion. He himself paid $92,000 in taxes not too long ago, which indicates that he has a tremendous income. He says specifically, "I am not a millionaire," but he told the Los Angeles Times that he was a millionaire. He specifies that he has not made himself a millionaire, he has made the church a millionaire. And his particular viewpoint expressed through the church has also brought into existence some other interesting corporate structures. For instance, his evangelistic association, United Church Evangelistic Association, has a three-man board. Himself, his wife, and one other person. The monies which are derived from it go into the millions. The last figure of his earnings, over $6.7 million in the corporate structure of the church. And we've only gotten the figure so far in 1974. Now, that's a good thing to point out to the people so that they'll recognize somebody is making a great deal of money. And it isn't them. They are supporting it, but all the people in it are not getting the benefits the one man who sold them the idea is getting. People don't like to be ripped off. They don't like to be conned. And the reason why Reverend Ike is so successful is that he says, the church owns my Rolls Royce, the church owns my Bentley, the church owns this, the church owns that. But he is the particular beneficiary of everything the church owns. Who cares if you own a fleet of cars in somebody else's name, just so long as you're the only person that rides in them? Who cares if you have houses all over the United States and all over the world, if you're the only one that lives in them? Who cares if it's not in your name, if you exercise control over it? Obviously, corporate structures do this all the time. Reverend Ike's structure does it also for him. And he not only is dressed well and bejeweled, but he is also making a laughingstock out of the people who are foolish enough to accept the things that he's saying. Now, biblical theology stands squarely against Reverend Ike's science of mind. It stands opposed to his evangelistic association. And the reason why is because biblical theology, which he forsook, rests squarely upon the proclamation of God, the testimony of His Spirit, the history of the church, and the fact that Jesus Christ contradicts all error and all evil, not only by being who He is, but by specifically giving us the gospel and the truth whereby man can be saved.